Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the Abomination of Desolation. What is the Abomination of Desolation? The Abomination of Desolation is an end-time, corrupt, and carnal king that sets himself up in the Jerusalem temple as supreme ruler and causes his army to stop the daily sacrifice of the Jews in the temple, and eventually does three things. He destroys the temple, destroys the city, and destroys the people. And of course, with the setting up of the abomination, we have this as a prelude to the Great Tribulation. You have to understand this if you are to recognize the Abomination of Desolation and be accounted worthy to escape the Great Tribulation. Now, in previous programs, we discussed the types of the future Abomination of Desolation. In type, we had an Abomination of Desolation that was carried out by Nebuchadnezzar. And you're going to notice something, that the Abominations of Desolations involve the temple, the destruction of the temple. So the first one was at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar when he destroyed Solomon's temple. He also came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and he also came in and destroyed the people of Judea. Then we have been talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, who started the Abomination of Desolation, and he came into the temple in Jerusalem, and this was the second temple. This was the temple that was built by Ezra and Nehemiah, and much later expanded by Herod. So he came into the temple, desecrated it, he destroyed the city, and destroyed the people. But notice, he did not actually destroy the temple. And so that's why I've been saying that this second example of an abomination of desolation, it started with Antiochus Epiphanes, but did not have its ultimate fulfillment until it came down to Titus, a general of Rome. He was the one that actually destroyed the second temple, and he also destroyed the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the people. So the second example of an abomination of desolation had to do with the second temple. And then there will be a third abomination of desolation that will involve the third temple, which means that a temple in Jerusalem will be built again, the daily sacrifice will commence again, and then there will be an abomination of desolation that's set up. And the scripture says that when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place where it ought not, and when you see the armies compassing Jerusalem, then you should know that its destruction is near. So that's where we get this definition from of the abomination of desolation, is taking all of those scriptures and just going through almost word by word to let the Bible explain itself. So now today we're going to get into this second example of an abomination of desolation, which was at the hands of Antiochus Epiphanes. And again, we're going to let the Bible teach us, and also we're going to go to history. Now, this started, this abomination of desolation, this started in 167 BC. Again, this is at the hands of Antiochus Epiphanes, and this has to do with the second temple, which was built by Ezra and Nehemiah. Today, we're going to be covering Daniel chapter 11, verses 28 through 31. This is Daniel chapter 11. And verses 28 through 31. Please turn there with me if you can. Now, from Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 45, many people feel like this entire range of scriptures is a prophecy concerning the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a sworn enemy to the Jewish religion and a bitter persecutor of those that adhered to it. But today we're going to focus on verses 28 through 31, because verses 28 through 31 talks about the taking away of the daily sacrifice and the setting up of the abomination of desolation. So in verse 28 it says, "Then he shall return into his land with great substance." The meaning of this is that Antiochus did return from Egypt laden with riches from his battle victories. And you can see history about this in the book of Maccabees, and this would be the first book of Maccabees, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. going back to the scripture in Daniel 11:28, his heart shall be against the holy covenant. Now, this is a very important term here. His heart shall be against the holy covenant. What is the holy covenant? Well, it's not the covenant that he made with Ptolemy, which was a fraudulent one, but this is the covenant between God and Israel, whereby they became a chosen nation, having a religion, laws, and ordinances different from all other nations. The particular reason why Antiochus's heart was stirred against this holy covenant at this particular time was the desire for revenge. When he was in Egypt, a rumor was spread abroad that he was dead, and Jason took this opportunity to recover the office of high priest from his brother Menelaus. And then Antiochus, hearing of this, supposed that all of the Jews had revolted, and he determined to inflict chastisement on them. So what happened was, Antiochus brought a great army against Jerusalem, took it by storm, and he actually killed 80,000 of its inhabitants. Then he took 40,000 prisoners and sold 40,000 more for slaves. Then he restored Menelaus to his office as high priest. And of course, this was an abominable person, Menelaus himself. But Antiochus, because his heart was against the holy covenant, he took away Jason, who was the rightful high priest. He took him away and put Menelaus in office instead. And again, you can see some more history about this in the book of Maccabees, but this would be the second book of Maccabees in chapter 5 and verses 5 through 14. Going back to verse 28, talking about Antiochus, it says, "And he shall do exploits and return to his own land." So guided by Menelaus, he entered the sanctuary, which is the sanctuary in the temple in Jerusalem. He entered the sanctuary with blasphemies, cursing the name of God, the name of Yahweh, and he sacrificed swine on the altar and sprinkled the broth of the flesh throughout the temple. He broke into the Holy of Holies, took away the gold and the silver vessels, and then he returned home. You have an account of that also in 2 Maccabees, but that would be chapter 5 and verses 15 through 21. Now let's read in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 29. "At the time appointed, he shall return and come into the south." So Antiochus launched an invasion of Egypt because of Ptolemy's agreement with Sihon to stand against him. So Ptolemy and Sihon stood against Antiochus. Going back to the scripture. "But it shall not be in the latter time as it was in the former time." What this means is that this time Antiochus wasn't successful. The first time when he fought against Ptolemy, he was successful. But this time, in trying to fight against Ptolemy, Ptolemy had an agreement with Sihon, and they worked together to fight against Antiochus. Now, in verse 30, we see exactly why Antiochus was not successful this time. In verse 30, it says, "For ships of Kittim shall come against him. Therefore Antiochus shall be grieved." What this means is that Antiochus, he was within 7 miles of Alexandria, Egypt, but he heard that Roman ambassadors had arrived there on behalf of Ptolemy and Sihon, and they arrived there in Grecian ships. That's what it says, ships of Kittim. These are Grecian ships. And these Roman ambassadors delivered to Antiochus letters from the Senate in which he was commanded to put an end to the war against his nephews, which would be Ptolemy and Sihon. And Antiochus was intimidated and humiliated by these Roman ambassadors and by Ptolemy and Sihon joining together against him. And so what happened is he returned to Israel with fury. Antiochus, as it says, going on in verse 30, Antiochus had indignation against the Holy Covenant. He was furious because he was intimidated and humiliated by Ptolemy and Sihon and the Roman ambassadors that had come to support them. So he went and took it out on the Jews as he was leaving from Egypt, which was in the south, going back up north to Syria where he was. He actually stopped in Jerusalem, and he had indignation against the Holy Covenant. And it also says he had intelligence with them that abandoned the covenant. So what does this mean? Well, it means that Menelaus, who was still there in Jerusalem and other apostate Jews, they instigated Antiochus. These were the ones that had abandoned the Holy Covenant. They had forsaken the true God. And Antiochus had intelligence with them. That means he kept up communication with them, and they kept up communication with him. And so as he was leaving Egypt on his way back to Syria, these people stirred up Antiochus against the Jewish people, the people that were still holding on to the Holy Covenant. And what happened? Antiochus dispatched one of his generals, Apollonius, and this was in around 167 BC. He dispatched Apollonius with 22,000 soldiers for the express purpose of destroying Jerusalem. He also decreed that all, on pain of death, should conform to the Greek religion and that the temple should be consecrated to Jupiter Olympius. And in identifying himself with that god, what he actually was trying to do was to make his own worship universal. He wanted everybody to bow down to his god, Jupiter Olympius. You can find this history in the first book of Maccabees, chapter 1 and verse 41, and also in 2 Maccabees, chapter 6 and verse 7. Now let's go on to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31. It says here that forces shall stand on his part, and they shall profane the sanctuary. Now, in many cases, I've used this word stand, and in one of our earlier programs, I defined it as saying standing up to fight, standing up, showing that you have rulership. And that's what this is conveying here. Forces shall stand on his part. In other words, they're going to stand up and fight along with him. Forces shall stand on the side of Antiochus, and they shall profane the sanctuary, even the fortress, and shall take away the continual burnt offering. This is this daily sacrifice. He's going to take away the continual burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. Now, what was the fulfillment of this? The temple was filled with rioting and reveling by the Gentiles who dallied with harlots in the holy places. There were harlots in the holy places. You can find this, and that's a quote actually from the second book of Maccabees in chapter 6. They set up altars and groves and chapels of idols and sacrifice swine's flesh again and unclean beasts. This is in the first book of Maccabees, chapter 1. And then Josephus, a great historian, Josephus in his Antiquities of the Jews expressly says that Antiochus forbid the daily sacrifices to be offered and actually set up a garrison of heathen soldiers in the temple, which drove the priests and the people away from the temple. And then in Maccabees chapter 1 and verse 54, it actually uses this phrase in describing what happened historically speaking and what we see prophesied to happen in Daniel chapter 11 verse 31. This is the after the fact, the historical verification of this prophecy in Maccabees chapter 1 and verse 54. This is a quotation. It says that they set up the abomination of desolation, and they set it up on the altar. And this again was an idol altar, and they set up an image of Jupiter Olympius, and they erected this upon Yahweh's altar, upon his altar of burnt offerings, where sacrifices were done to Yahweh. Instead, there were sacrifices to this image, Jupiter Olympius. Okay, so that was Daniel chapter 11, verses 28 through 31. In our next program, we'll cover Daniel chapter 11, verses 32 through 45. And this is continuing on with Antiochus Epiphanes. Thank you for joining me in this program, and may God be in you.